Hi, Jet streamers, and welcome to this preview of the FFA Cup Round of 16 match between Edgeworth FC and Newcastle Jets. My name is Luke, and joining me to dissect all the talking points and key matchups for this blockbuster Newcastle derby are two local legends who, ironically, are both currently outside of Newcastle. First, it is Anthony. Anthony, welcome aboard.
Oh, it is so good to be back on the Jet stream. How you going, mate?
I'm good. It feels like it's been a very long time since I've last done one. So, you know, it's good that we're able to do one for the round of 16 in the FFA Cup. Better than just skipping, going straight from round 32 to season preview.
For a change, yeah.
And also joining us is Dave. Dave, welcome aboard.
Hello, mate. How you doing? Good to be back. Third time's a charm, and we're giving away the secrets of the pod.
So this is the third time we've tried to record this. The first time Dave dropped out after 10 minutes, and the second time I tried to hit record and the page refreshed and we lost Dave again. So hopefully this time is a lot more smooth for us all. So gentlemen, let's jump into the opening question. This one has been inspired due to my current binge-watching of Hell's Kitchen and Kitchen Nightmares. So along the lines of restaurants, what is the best restaurant you've been to, Dave?
Mate, the best one that I've been to is one that we went to 10 years ago. And, mate, don't ask me the name of it because I don't remember. We were at a point in time going through Europe and we're on one of these top tech tours, right? And we're in Prague, and we're a couple of weeks in, and to the point where, you know, we haven't seen anything green food that isn't either an outer casing on a chocolate or an alcoholic liquid. And we get to this island, Prague, off Croatia, and we're looking around for something to eat, and we find this little restaurant, and we go in. It's almost like someone's house, right? And I ordered a steak, and you're not too sure what you're going to get, but I went with it. And it came out with this lovely mushroom sauce and veggies and some chips and a nice steak, really well cooked. And like, it might have been the worst steak that you've ever had, but at this point in time, I didn't care. And it was by far the best meal that I can remember eating and enjoying. And that's what I'm going for. Don't remember the name. Somewhere on Parg. Good luck. sweet as.
Five stars on Yelp.
Yeah. Five stars on Yelp. Yeah, you got that one.
I think when you've been away for a while and you've just been eating a lot of, not crap, but unhealthy food or just a lot of hearty food, going back to staple, having veggies and stuff like that, just really knocks your body around. It's not used to the healthiness. I'm pretty sure there's an episode of The Simpsons where they all crash after eating vegetables. I'm sure there is. There's that many episodes.
Look, the garnishing of the drinks didn't really count as the vegetables that I was really looking for. Let's just say.
But they were green and they weren't chocolate or alcohol, so. Maybe the alcohol part. Anthony, how about you?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this one long and hard all afternoon, boys, and I'm going to be boring. I'm going to not be as creative as Dave and think about all the times I've been overseas because plot twists, there haven't been that many. But I'm going to go with some away trip specials. So, as the token Italian amongst us, my recommendations are very much Italian food based. And I couldn't split it between Verve Cafe in Brisbane, which is like a basement style Italian restaurant on Edward Street in the city, which is honestly amazing. Like, hit them up, Brisbane away. And Cafe Coretto, which is on Lygon Street in Melbourne. Melbourne away, seriously do it. Lygon Street, nationally known for amazing Italian food. And there's probably some listeners going, oh yeah, but you can get better Italian food in wherever else in Melbourne. But no, seriously, go to Lygon Street, go to Cafe Coretto. It's the cheapest place in the street. It has a replica Formula One Ferrari car hanging from the roof. Like, it's amazing. And it's sort of like a family tradition of mine. Whenever we go to Melbourne, we always turn up there. So, yeah.
And really, they're not unknowingly sponsoring the pod either. So those other restaurants. So this podcast can be brought by those two restaurants. Because unlike well, unlike me, you remember the name.
Well, we all of a sudden just had a spike of people like subscribing to the pod from Melbourne and like the Italian community around Carlton. I love it.
Well, my first thought was, if I'm going to talk about Hell's Kitchen and Kitchen Nightmares, we'll talk about bad restaurants, but I don't really want us getting mob lynched by half of Newcastle or surrounding areas. So
we would have just picked restaurants on the Central Coast.
Gosford Hotel's okay. So mine is somewhat similar to Dave in that I don't actually remember the name. I was in Tokyo a couple of years back watching the Socceroos play Japan in a World Cup qualifier. And one of the nights we went into Shibuya in Tokyo and we found this little meat restaurant and they took you upstairs and just brought you nonstop meat for a few hours. It was $70 per person. They had a little hot plate on your table, so the staff would come out, they'd either cook the meat for you on there or they'd give you the meat and the tongs and everything and you cook it all yourself. I just remember eating, there was some marbled meat on there that I ate and I was just like, holy crap, this is the best thing ever. And I think about it a lot. But as I said, don't remember the name, so just find a meat restaurant in Tokyo. Sure, it can't be hard.
So basically it was about $1 per kilo of meat.
Got to get my body to 50% meat.
Very good,
Dave. So let's jump into some stats about tomorrow night's game, or tonight if you're listening to the pod as it comes out morning of the match. So this is the second time for both sides in the round of 16 in the FFA Cup. Jets previously made it in 2018, where they lost 1-0 to Melbourne City. Edgeworth in 2016, I believe they lost 5-0 to Wanderers, Broadmeadow. I might be wrong on that. This is the first time a team from Northern New South Wales will qualify for the quarterfinals, and it only took out two Newcastle teams to verse each other for that to happen. First time Jets and Edgeworth will actually face off in a competitive fixture. So while they've played a lot of matches against each other before, this is the first competitive fixture that isn't a trial or a friendly or anything like that. So that's exciting. The first time that Edgeworth will host an FFA Cup match at Jack McLaughlin Oval. They previously hosted matches at home in the FFA Cup at Magic Park in Broadmeadow. The last meet up between the two clubs was not too long ago, 1-0 win to the Jets in a preseason friendly for the club. Edgeworth currently sits second in the NPL with one round to go. They're on 38 points, two behind first place Maitland. And they play fourth place Lambton on Sunday. They'll be hoping to win and that Maitland lose or draw retain the premiership. They've currently got 12 wins, 2 draws, 5 losses for the season in the NPL, 44 goals for, 21 against. In the last 5 matches, they've won 4-1 against Western, lost 3-0 to Valentine, won 3-0 against Darwin Olympic in the FFA Cup, beat Maitland 3-1 and a 1-0 win against Adamstown. So, I mean, this is going to be the first true Newcastle derby match in Newcastle, like it's in Newcastle footballing history. You know, we've never really had a match of this style before. Dave, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, look, mate, it's a really interesting fixture. It was when it was drawn, it was really exciting to get. I mean, yeah, look, it's an away fixture, but it's a local fixture in Newcastle that we can. It's the first time we could see the Jets at home in Newcastle for the last couple of years. I think those that are taking that think that this is almost a fait accompli probably don't really know or have looked at the ability of this team. They're perennial winners. They've been consistently they've been consistent performers, particularly under Damien Zane for the last 4 seasons in the NPL. So 4 or 5 at least, actually. And so a very exciting match. Great to have a game locally. And the Jets won't be taking this lightly.
I don't think they can. As I said, their last match was 1-0, but you know, Edgeworth were resting a lot of their first grade players. You can say the same for the Jets, but 1-0 is pretty a pretty good effort for a team who, you know, is in the NPL. I personally think this isn't an easy game. If there was a team from, I guess, Northern New South Wales in the NPL that could knock off an A-League team, you'd be saying that it's going to be, you know, Edgeworth's the one it's going to be. They've had wonderful results the last four seasons. They've won premierships, made consecutive grand finals. As you said, perennial winners, they know how to get a result. They're also former finalists in the National Premier League's final series, where they lost the final. I believe it was 4-1 a few years ago. So these guys, you know, they're very good, and they've got the players who can definitely put in a very good performance against an A-League side and absolutely get a result out of it. Anthony, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I'm sort of going to echo Dave's comments, to be honest. Like, I think that the more I think about the game, the more I think Edgeworth really do have a good crack at it. Like you said, you know, it was only a couple of weeks ago where we got a 1-0, and the goal that we scored that day was straight off a corner. So it's not like we were, you know, it's not like we were convincing in a 1-0 win and just couldn't finish. You know, straight off a corner against a team that was resting some of their key players. I was a little bit disappointed at the time, but, you know, who knows? Hopefully we get a better result. I'm just stoked for the whole Northern New South Wales football and Newcastle football community, to be honest. I think this is a massive occasion for everyone. And, you know, there will be some loyalty split. I'm sure there'll be a lot of local Edgeworth juniors and a lot of people that play for Edgeworth or have played for Edgeworth for a number of years that would love to see the Eagles get up. But, you know, as for the rest of Newcastle, you can get stuffed, Edgy. I just think it'd be really good for everyone involved. It's massive to see a Northern New South Wales team, well, specifically a Newcastle team in this instance, to make the last eight as well. I think is really good for the region.
Absolutely, and I think you know, we'll talk about it a bit more later on. But the amount of work that the committee, players, people involved with the club at Edgeworth have put in the last 2 weeks. To make sure that, you know, the club and the ground is up to the minimum standards to host an A-League team with regards to lighting. They've been working non-stop. They've been working tirelessly, and it's a big it's big props to the club. You know, this is the sort of match that they've been wanting for years. And they've finally got a match. And you know, it could be any other club, but I think given that it's against, you know, the club from Newcastle, I think it's arguably a bigger match than against any other A-League club that they could have drawn. So it's going to be a wonderful night. And yeah, as I say, props to all the hardworking guys at Edgeworth. You know, I'm really excited at what you guys are going to be offering tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, it's honestly, it's going to be so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah. You know, they've. I think they sold something like 700 tickets in the first couple of hours that ticketing was open. They're sort of looking at about 4,500 capacity for the night. And the other big thing about the game is that it's actually going to be the broadcast match on Fox Sports, which I think is also a first for Newcastle. So, you know, the amount of extra effort that has to go into making sure that all the Fox towers are the right thing for the main game that they're broadcasting. You know, it's a great advertisement for not only for Newcastle, but for Edgeworth and the local NPL. It's there'll be a few players in the squad who will be hoping to put in a performance and, you know, potentially get big moves elsewhere, I guess.
And the look is lucky that the Coles is probably going to trade a bit later, just in case it goes extra time for Simon Hill to duck across and grab another packet in case he needs it.
Yeah, it's only a few hundred metres up the road, the local call. So, yeah, no, it'll be a good night. And hopefully, you know, hopefully they get the crowd to that they deserve for a match like this. So let's jump into some talking points for the game. One big piece of news coming out of the Jets in the last week is the departure of Joey Champness to chase his music career overseas. Dave, how much of a loss is he?
He's a big loss, Luke. A very big loss. look, there's two sides to this debate, right? And we've had this debate before when he first went overseas to take his initial month, right? And those that are really happy for him that, you know, you only live once, that he wants to pursue. Isn't he very fortunate? And, you know, he's a very fortunate person to have skills and ability, not in two completely separate fields, two creative fields, one with music, but also one with athletic and footballing ability too. So he's really fortunate in that side of things. But as a Jets fan, I'm really disappointed because I'm a fan of Joey Champness, the footballer, not Joey Champness, the rapper. This was his opportunity to cement his spot this year. And he lit up the field for us and was a real game breaker towards the end of the year once he started to return and regain his fitness. But not just that, he's also an asset. He's one of probably one of the more saleable assets that the club had. And in a time when we're going through some tightening of purse strings, a potential transfer fee for a player who could have had a breakout, more than a breakout season, a consolidating season, is really difficult to lose. Because, look, I hope that whichever record company he signed with gives us a transfer fee, because, look, they probably owe us about 700K.
Yeah, it's and, you know, you can't fault the kid for chasing his dreams or anything. But as a Jets fan who's been going, you know, we'd never get the good side of the straw. And, you know, with the news of Andrew Naboot going to Melbourne Victory, you know, having one of our up-and-coming talents leave for something completely unrelated to football, I mean, as you said, congrats to him and I hope he does well. But as a Jets fan, it does sting a little. Did you have anything to add, Anthony?
Yeah, it honestly feels like probably the most Jets thing to happen for a number of years. Like, it's, you know, I'm thinking on par of, you know, when the day we had five players and an assistant coach sacked. Like, it's that level of Newcastle. But yeah, I mean, overall, look, echo what Dave said, like, and yourself as well, Luke. Like, yeah, full credit to him for chasing these dreams, but it does sting as a Jets supporter.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of replacement, Dave, do you have any thoughts or, you know, where we should be looking? Should we be looking for another winger, or is there another position you think we might be better suited to spending the cap on?
Mate, I'm not too sure. I think Ernie's really looking for attacking players, so I think that's where he'll aim to. Laurie said that we will recruit, so that's where I expect him to use that money. But after seeing the difficulty, I mean, look, that Johnny Katrimbas came up against Andrew Naboot, who is most likely probably the best right wing that he's going to come up against in the competition this year. I'd be looking for a left back.
You'd say at least the best Aussie. You'd say at least the best Aussie winger.
Yeah. I mean, Barbaroussis would probably be the other one that would probably give him a bit of a push, but I'd probably be looking to use it as a left back, on a left back, given that we're kind of completely absent in that that area of the field. I mean, someone like maybe Callum Elder, I think I'm pretty sure he's a left back. He might be someone from Leicester.
Well, he's just signed with Hull City, so that's probably out of the question. So,
Yeah, well, I'd be looking at a left back, mate.
Okay. Well, I guess personally, on the topic of defenders, we seem to be going through a bit of an injury crisis with our backline at the moment. We've got a number of players who are already ruled out or who are most likely going to be ruled out of the match against Edgeworth. Boog's still recovering from ankle surgery. Lockie Jackson tore his calf training. Topper and Canna are still recovering from injuries sustained around the Victory game. Anthony, what does the loss of our senior centre-backs mean for us going into this game?
Yeah, it is going to be a big loss. I mean, Boog, you can't understate the impact that Boogs and Topper have on the squad. I actually thought, like, I thought Lockie was outstanding as well in Melbourne, but, you know, at the same time, like, Johnny Katrombas has really, really stepped up. And Pat Langlois, like, I'm looking at him play at the moment and I'm like, why wasn't he playing for like half of last year at least? I mean, obviously, like, maybe not ready or whatever, but honestly, the kid's been amazing so far. So from what I've seen about the Hamilton Olympic game, like, we apparently played Langlois and Katrumbas in the centre-backs for 60 minutes or whatever. So I'm assuming that's going to be the pairing that Ernie goes with. But yeah, without an experienced head, and you know, whoever they decide to play at left back as well is similarly going to be inexperienced. You know, it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see just how different it is without a cooler head to keep him under wraps, just in case the game, you know, say gets out of hand, if there's a bit of argy-bargy, or if it goes to extra time or anything like that.
Dave, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, look, I want to pose a question to you both. Nigel Bougard really hasn't been involved in any of the preseason so far, and it's 2 months out from the beginning of the season. What are your thoughts on Bougard actually not starting the season and actually and retiring? Say, Luke, I'll start with you, mate. Old habits die hard as a host, mate. Sorry, but I got a sneaky, like, it wouldn't surprise me if they came out and said, you know, Boogs has just pulled the pin at the prior to the season starting. What do you think?
Look, it would just continue on the very Jets trend. It's, you know, he's had a pretty good, you know, in recent years. I think that's two seasons in a row where he's actually had surgery leading into a season. I believe he had surgery, maybe his groin or something, after the grand final season, which caused him to miss a fair chunk of the preseason last year. Would he necessarily retire at this stage? Maybe he won't this year. Maybe it's something he might be considering. You know, this might be his last year. It's sort of, I guess, setting up that he could. I don't think he will. I think if anything, he would probably give himself another year to sort of see how he goes this year. If there was anything that sort of required surgery, maybe at the end of this season, then I think that's probably when we would see him make a decision on his playing career.
Very interesting. Just a thought I've been having recently, mate. So thank you.
Yeah, no, not a problem. Well, I guess continuing on with the defensive crisis, it was actually reported today that Johnny Katrumbas has picked up a stomach bug, and he might not actually be 100% for the game either. So
brilliant.
Yeah, awesome. I guess for me, you know, we've seen
what's Jade North doing? Far out.
Ian Fife.
Is he at Murray United or something? Or I think for me, you know, I think the obvious pairing, should he be, you know, should he be able to play? I think the obvious pairing is Johnny and Langlois. The only thing that really concerns me in that is that, you know, we've seen Johnny play centre back in his Spurs season at the club, the Mark Jones year, but he always had someone senior with him there. He did all right. He kept a clean sheet against Hamilton the other day, but they don't necessarily have the exact same firepower or mongrel that some of the Edgeworth players have. So I'm just sort of a bit concerned about whether him and Langlois are going to get bullied, or whether, you know, they'll rise to the occasion.
The advantage that he does have, though, is he doesn't have Mark Jones on the sideline, so there is a positive.
That is true.
That's an advantage for our club as a whole.
So I guess we've spoken defensively. Offensively, we saw Wessie, the Irish Messi, Wes Houlihan, and Arroyo start in the match against Hamilton last week. Dave, do you think it's too early to start them in a competitive fixture, or will we start them and just play them as long as they can until their match fitness sort of drops off?
I don't think we're going to have a choice, mate. By the sounds of things, we're probably playing Hoffi at centre back, or Jugarkovic at centre back, and or Redenton maybe even at centre back. So I think they're probably about the only fit guys that are still probably running around. So but yes, I expect the Jets to come out and try and get 2-3 goals, get the most out of Houlihan and Arroyo in the first 60 minutes. Try and take the tie completely away from Edgy. Edgy with a big game on the weekend will look to then just, you know, but it will be 60 minutes. Everyone shake hands. Let's just get through this. That's the approach that I reckon Ernie will look to take. And Arroyo really impressed me in the match against Victory. He was the spark that really changed that match for me. So, And by all accounts, Houlihan was also impressive during his appearance against Hamilton. So yeah, mate, I'd be starting him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you don't really have much choice, and you know these guys are here for a reason. If they're fit, get them out there, and let's get the club through to the quarterfinals for the first time ever. Anthony, just on that Hamilton game, the Jets beat Hamilton 2-0 last Thursday. You know, it's another preseason hit out. Plenty of game time for players, you know, youngsters who might be pushing A-League selection come the end of the season. Obviously, results are not important, but is the lack of goals a concern? Like, we only scored two. Should we be concerned we're not taking our chances? Or is it just something that, you know, we got through unscathed, the players are fine, that's the main thing to consider?
I think, yeah, look, it is probably the main thing, just to see that the boys are getting minutes in their legs and they're, you know, they're combining in their, you know, doing whatever they need to do to make an Ernie happy. I'm not overly concerned about the result, to be honest, given that, you know, we played really our first 11, or what you would expect, our best 11 players that were fit and ready, only played 60 minutes, and the last half an hour was kids, really. So I'm not really concerned at the result. You know, I think the thing that more so concerned me was the fact that our goals both came from defenders. So, yeah, like that's...
Wait, Arroyo scored one, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah, no, he did, sorry. It was Hoffy setting him up, my bad. But it was just sort of Katrumbis. Yeah, yeah.
You know what, that confused me as well.
Arroyo's playing centre-back on Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, Arroyo was playing centre-back. Yeah, that's it. It's easy to confuse him with Jason Hoffman. my point that I wrote down in my notes was that about the fact that Katrumbis not only popped up against Hamilton, but also popped up against Victory. So, like, is that going to become a recurring theme where we're going to have to rely on our defenders getting forward to jag a goal to kickstart the game, or like, what are we going to do? So that was probably the more concerning point for me. The result itself, not really concerned, given the lineups that we put out.
Yeah, fair enough. I think the thing for me is, you know, I think more in the grand final year, we did see, you know, Georgievski and the other Hoffy when he was playing at left back, they pushed up a lot more. We didn't see that too much last year. We didn't really get too many goals from defenders, but yeah, you know, we really need our...
We didn't really get too many goals.
No, that's true. but we kind of need, you know, if our strikers aren't scoring, we can't be relying on the defenders to do the job for them.
But to be fair, that's also what we brought Matt Meller in for. He is known to being a very attacking fullback, and his ability to have that overlapping run and create opportunities and create assists. He was a leading assist provider, or at least second in the league last year. So, I mean, that's what we brought that guy in to do. So, you know, bit of give and take there. Just a counterpoint.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we've spoken about the Jets. Do we expect that they're going to take an all-attack approach into the game? That we just expect Edgeworth are going to soak pressure and counter? Or do you think that maybe Edgeworth might try and take the game to us early on, try and catch the Jets off, Dave?
Mate, I reckon they'll probably look to... I mean, they'll have played on the weekend, so and they've got another important game on the weekend, as you correctly pointed out. I think that they'll look to conserve a bit of energy, soak up the Jets' attack and allow the Jets to play their game, dominate the possession, and they'll look to hit the counter. That may be different to how they normally play, given their lofty position within the Northern New South Wales NPL. But I think that they're going to look to conserve energy and try and hit the Jets on the counter and exploit the weakness that at least would be perceived with changes in the central defence.
Okay, I guess another way to look at it, the game that Edgeworth lost to Valentine a couple of weeks ago was an upset. They with Valentine scoring twice late on to win the game, team that was last at the time. Do you think if Edgeworth had got a result in that and they were currently top of the NPL, do you think they'd be more focused on making sure they finish top? Or do you think now that they're sort of behind and that it's out of their hands, really, if Maitland win, then, you know, whatever they do on the weekend doesn't really matter. Do you think maybe now they're going to turn their attention to the FFA Cup, or do you think you know, they're going to try and tempt fate and, you know, push to try and get that first place finish?
Finals are secured, I suppose. So regardless, I mean, I don't know how close they are to third. It's pretty tight at the top of the table, if I recall.
Yeah, there's. I think they're maybe 2 points ahead of third.
Yeah, so
1 or 2 points ahead of third.
Well, they are wanting Maitland to slip up. They themselves can't. So otherwise, they're giving up they're hosting the first leg of the away semi, I think. First leg of the home and away semi. So, yeah, mate, look, I think that they are going to take it seriously. You're in the cup once. Well, you're not in the cup once, but once a year you get your opportunity to get to the cup. And they've been at this stage before and they didn't get through. And this is, for all those reasons you mentioned before, it's a game that has the opportunity to inspire them and motivate them beyond many others. So they're not going to take it lightly. They're going to go out there and they're going to want to win. How they go about it, I don't think they'll care, but I personally think that they're going to look to soak and hit us up on the counter.
Yeah, I think that's how they'll I think that's how they'll do it too. I think they'll try and catch out Johnny and Langwa at centre back, and I think they'll use their wings to get the ball out from back as quick as possible, and then just go direct and try and get into the get a goal scoring opportunity while we're still playing catch up with them. Anthony, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, 100%, boys. 100% agree. I think they're going to sit back, soak it up, try and conserve energy because, yep, they've got the game on the weekend that they're still trying to win the league. But, yeah, I'm just concerned about whoever's going to be out on the left. And if our potential left-back for that game is listening, I'm sincerely sorry. But, yeah, that to me just seems like the big gaping hole, not only in our squad as a whole for the league, but especially for tomorrow night. I think that's going to be a key point that Edgeworth can exploit when they do hit us on those counterattacks.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about the match itself. So as I mentioned before, it's the first real competitive match against Edgeworth, and this is the first time hosting an FFA Cup match at Jack McLaughlin. Is everything sort of falling in place, Anthony, that we might see a cup set tomorrow night?
The more I think about it, the more I think it can happen, but that's probably just the token Jets supporters' pessimism coming out. But look, I think you mentioned before, Luke, like Damian Zane is absolutely up for it. His players are up for it. I reckon that they'll draw a lot of confidence out of the fact that we only got him 1-0 a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think so too.
Albeit with, you know, both teams had some key players out, or, you know, we didn't play our key players for as long as we probably could have. But I think they'll be up for it as well because it gives them an opportunity not only to represent the club, but, you know, as we've touched on a couple of times now, if they are that Newcastle side in the last eight, like they're representing the whole region. They're representing the NPL because, like, you know, how many – we get to that point of the FFA Cup where there's fewer and fewer NPL teams as they keep getting knocked out. Like it's a massive badge of pride for them. So I think they'll be heaps up for it. And, yeah, at home on their turf at Jack McLaughlin, which looks – brilliant, by the way. I've seen some pictures of it. So the groundsman down at Edgeworth, like, seriously, fantastic job. Yeah, I reckon they'll be really up for it. And I reckon cup set on the cards, look, I can see it happening and I won't be surprised if it does, but I don't think it will happen tomorrow.
So I guess given our history of pre-season matches against Edgeworth, do you think it's an advantage or a disadvantage of playing one of our, I guess, well-known rivals? You know, they always seem to be the team that we go to for the preseason matches. Do you think that works for us or against us in this regard?
I don't really think it matters too much, to be honest. I think we go to them every year because, let's be real, like they are the top side in the NPL of the past few years. As Dave mentioned earlier, they've won it for the last 4 years in a row. Like, you know, if we want to have pre-season fixtures in the region and B, want to be playing against the best possible players in the region, of course we're going to go to the best team. So I get you know, your point around the familiarities and stuff between them, but I don't see it as being an issue. I think, you know, we'll still have the quality at the end of the day to get past them in a competitive match when the boys have to step up a gear and switch on.
Yeah, fair enough. Speaking of Jack McLaughlin, Edgeworth have lost one match at Jack McLaughlin this year, which was back in round 2 in March against Charlestown. Are they going to take confidence from that as well, Dave? Do you think that they see Jack McLaughlin as a fortress that you know, they're able to get results there nearly an entire season? That they're not gonna go down easy.
Absolutely, mate. I mean, you're at home. You want to perform for your crowd. You want to put on a good show, and there'll be a vocal atmosphere at the ground tomorrow night, which is really exciting. And I'm super disappointed that I won't be there. I mean, I'll actually be mid flight coming home from Brisbane at the time of kickoff, so I won't be able to get there. But the crowd aren't called the 12th player for a reason. You know, they can be the difference between your team getting up for something and between your team getting on your team's back. So yeah, of course they're going to be up for it. This is a massive occasion, and they're going to want to put on a show for their fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we're going to see a couple of familiar faces in the Edgeworth squad. Some that we don't, I guess, as Jets fans really want to see, but you know, they've got Danny McBreen, Josh Rose, both of whom former Mariners players. I think having players like McBreen and Josh Rose, who have played against the Jets at a competitive level, have always been public enemy number two behind Hutcho. These are the players that are going to be they're going to be firing up, and they're going to be revving all the players up around them. These are the guys that know how to get a result.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially Edgeworth have got a few players out, as I'm sure we might look at later. But those guys that have that experience, and as you said, public enemy against the Jets for a number of years, they're going to be massive. Like, they're going to be massive for G'ing up those boys that are out on the park with them, keeping them motivated, keeping them going for the full 90 or 120, however many minutes we get worth of football tomorrow night. I think they're going to be vitally important for Edgeworth. I will be absolutely unsurprised if Danny McBreen somehow rears his ugly head and scores a goal. although I did see Josh Rose scored off a corner against Western the other day, so who knows? Might have to look out for that as well.
I guess, I've got my notes here. McBreen hasn't really been playing a whole lot recently. His last game for the club was the 20th of July. In the NPL, he's only played 11 of a possible 19 matches this year. But you sort of think, regardless of how much he's been playing, he's going to be there and he's going to be like tearing us apart, or at least attempting to tear us apart on the during the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I think the fact that he hasn't played as many games as he would have liked. I mean, the guy's 42, and he's also works pretty tirelessly for the Jets. Fair play to him. He's had a big career, and I reckon. But I just reckon his quality, which he obviously still has. He's shown it in the NPL for the last couple of years with Edgeworth. He will absolutely be there, and he will absolutely be a pain in our backside.
He absolutely will, and he'll do probably as much gibbering and yapping on the field as he probably does playing as well. But he'd be up for a sledge, I reckon. So, but I mean, to talk about your point,
confirm he loves it,
and it will all be good. And look, because he works with these guys, so it'll all be good fun. But you spoke about the Jets being exploited down the left hand side as well. You got Josh Rose on that left hand side. I mean, the bloke's going to have Matt Miller running at him all night, and my bet that he's probably going to go to bed the night with just this Miller 16 ingrained in his eyes, because that's all he's going to be seeing for the entire evening is the back of Matt Miller as he keeps on running past him. So, the left side of each respective team defensively is going to be a real challenge, or possibly could be a real opportunity for both sides to exploit, because they say Matt Miller is a little bit quicker than Josh Rose.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a hell of a contest. I'll go back to a point that Anthony spoke about just before, the outs for Edgeworth. So my list has grown since I first wrote this last night. So currently out for Edgeworth is Oliver Smith, He is out suspended. He is their top scorer for the season with 12 in the NPL. The captain, Josh Evans, who's their centre-back, he's away. They're missing Jose Atede, Dobson, Don Bazzari, Nate Cavalier, and Keanu Moore, who have a range of outs, I guess, injury, overseas. You know, there are a lot of big players in their team. You know, Oliver Smith, he's scored 12. He's one of the top scorers in the NPL this season. He's, you know, apart from him, the next top scorer in the squad is Will Bauer with 6. So he's got half the goals that that Oliver Smith has. But having someone who's able to get goals for you as regular as Smith has for them, that's a big out.
Yeah, it is a massive out for them. I did notice as well, though, like even with Smith out, Aiden Gardner stepped up and bagged 2 against Western. Obviously, we had Josh Rose scoring for him off a corner as well. I don't think Edgeworth are going to be short of goal scorers. You know, they showed that they put 4 past Western, who albeit haven't been in great form. But even still, I think that even with their outs, they're still going to create opportunities. They've got, you know, they can shove Danny McBreen up there, who's going to create something out of nothing. You just know it.
I guess the other thing is you've got McBreen up there. If he's going to be terrorising the centre backs, that gives chances to, as you said, Aiden Gardner to score. They've got a few other players as well. Let me check notes here. They've got 16-year-old Archie Finn, who came on against Hamilton a few weeks ago and absolutely tore him to shreds in 16 minutes.
And Damien Zane speaks very highly of that kid, very highly. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing him play.
Yeah, that'll be a good to see him play. I think he'll offer something. I think as well, Adam Cawley, he scored a long-range goal against Darwin Olympic in the FFA Cup game a few weeks ago.
Also scored against Western as well.
Also scored against Western. So, you know, they've still got a number of decent options and everything. So it's like, you know, you say the outs list is big, but, you know, they've got players to fill these spots as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I think Pat Wheeler will be standing in as captain for Josh Evans. He's their centre back as well. You know, he could give our forwards a bit of trouble as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. Abdiel Arroyo is pretty quick, so hopefully he won't come into play too much. But no, you're 100% right, man. Like they've got players all over the park that can step up, and you know they've shown that in the past couple of weeks. So I don't think Damien Zane would be too worried about their outs, to be honest. And I think he might even, you know, use that as to spur his boys on, and I guess, you know, warn them that we might be a bit complacent given their outs and that sort of thing. So who knows? Yeah. Could be the makings of an even bigger cup set.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with an opposition from the NPL, not many, I guess, huge Jets fans may know necessarily how teams line up or how, you know, how the squad actually looks on paper. Dave, do you think, I think normally they might play with a 4-4-2 lineup, Edgeworth. Do you think that they'll go for something similar, or do you think maybe they might make it a bit more defensive and put more players at in the back line?
No, look, they will stick to what they know. If they're sticking to what they know is probably going to be their best opportunity of getting a result from the game. They're not going to want to change everything wholeheartedly. And look, if they do play a 4-4-2, it's actually probably going to match the Jets' formation of a 2-4-4 quite neatly.
Bold of you to assume we have 11 fit players.
Yeah, I did say I was on a plane, didn't I? I might get back in time for the second half. I'll have my boots on.
Yeah, get on.
Ernie's on the bench, boys.
Get on KO Sports to see the score. Yeah, you know what? Take me back to Brisbane.
DJ Jetty P's here.
Rock up with Laurie's mayor chains and everything.
Oh, God.
How do you think we'll line up? We've spoken about the centre back pairing most likely being Johnny and Langwa. It was reported tonight that Noah James and Ryan Goodhue will be back in the country most likely in time for the game. So do you think we'll see Noah move straight onto the bench, or do you think they might just be a bit cautious with him and keep Keegan Hughes on the bench?
Yeah, look, what's Glenn Moss's update? I mean, is he fit for the match, or is he still out injured with his foot?
I actually didn't see him on there, but I assumed he was still probably out.
Okay, let's just for the sake of the pod, we'll assume that he's out. So I'm putting Italiano in goal. Yeah, Noah James comes onto the bench for me. I think that's pretty straightforward. I'd be having Matt Miller and probably playing Matt Redenton. I'm assuming Johnny Katrumbas is out. Otherwise, I'm putting Hoffey at left back if he's playing. But I'd actually play Hoffey, and I think that they'll put Hoffey for a bit of height at centre back with Langlois. Just from an organisation, a height, a talker at the back, I think we're almost that desperate. Because if Canter was fit, we'd put Canter there, but he's not. And I don't think Redenton – I think Redenton and Langlois will be just too passive for what could be a very physical match. And I'd bet Jason Hoffman could handle Daniel McBreen a bit better than the younger guys could. So Redenton at left back for me. I'd be playing Ugarkovic in third gate, and I'd be playing Fitzgerald, Dimi and Wes. Arroyo, does Shepherd deserve his spot back? Does Arroyo come in? I'm probably looking at picking Arroyo and having Shepherd as probably our most influential option off the bench, because we're going to be pretty thin with, I reckon, to seeing the likes of Jack Simmons, Mackie Petrados probably coming in there somewhere. What about you, Anthony?
Yeah, to be honest, mate, I wrote it down this afternoon, and I had pretty much the same as you. I just had Arroyo starting up front. Mostly off the back of the fact that A, he started against Hamilton, but also B, his strong performance against Victory when he came on. So I think, touching back on the points we raised earlier about trying to get the game out of Edgeworth's hands, I think that that's what will happen. I reckon Arroyo will start, we'll just try get a couple of goals, and then I reckon he'll probably pull him off about the 55 to 60 mark and chuck Kane on to finish it off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we look at the availabilities that we've got in the team, and I don't think you can really make too many changes to what you both have said. I think it's pretty. I think we'll see a pretty straightforward lineup, as much as you could possibly have with our defensive problems that we currently have. Okay, so scores. What do we think? What do we think the scores are going to be, Dave?
I think the Jets will go out 3-1 winners.
3-1. Anthony?
I'm going to put us at 2-0.
2-0. I'm going to probably go with Dave and say 3-1. I don't think that we're going to keep Edgeworth scoreless, but I think that we'll probably get a couple of early goals, and that will probably, you know, knock the stuffing out of them a little bit. And then I think it'll be a pretty similar match to the Maitland Mariners game a couple of weeks ago, to be honest. So there are other matches on playing at the same time. A number of A-League teams will be playing. So we've got Brisbane Olympic against Adelaide United, Moreland Zebras against Magpies Crusaders, and Marconi Stallions against Melbourne City. So, yeah, there's going to be, you know, you could have a couple of upsets there as well. Brisbane Olympic are doing quite well in the Queensland NPL at the moment, and we're going to see one of the probably one of the teams that we wouldn't expect to be in the quarterfinals, either Moreland Zebras or Magpies Crusaders to get through there. Anthony, how do you feel about these games?
Yeah, to be honest, mate, as a Queensland born and bred boy who keeps a close tabs on the NPL up there, I'm really stoked for Magpies Crusaders getting through the side from Mackay. I think that's a huge, huge win for them getting this far. I don't think they're going to go any further. I think Moreland will dust them aside. But also Brisbane Olympic, I've got a funny feeling that they're going to go close to a cup set, I reckon. Touching on what you said, they've been playing really well. They're a really well-drilled side. Ben Kahn is, in my opinion, just from personal experience of dealing with him and also following his career for a long time, I reckon Ben Kahn is probably the best coach in the NPL in the country. And I will throw that out, hands down, and say it, and defend it till I die. That is the hill I will die on. But yeah, they're playing really well. They've got a couple of good ex-A-League players in there, a couple of players like Jez Lofthouse, who probably should be in the A-League. And Adelaide, I don't know. I'm sure my girlfriend will hate me because she's a Red Army member, but I reckon Olympic will go closest to a cup set.
Adelaide had a good, they had a very convincing win against Melbourne Knights in the round of 32. So, they've got the players to do it. They've also brought in a couple of foreigners in recent weeks who may or may not see game time against Brisbane. So, as I said, there's a lot of players in the Olympic squad which probably could be playing at a higher level. So it'll be a good test for both sides, I think. Be a good game to watch. They're probably feeling a bit stiff themselves that they're not the showcase match for the night.
Yeah, I think the big thing for Adelaide is their lack of a striker. So the striker they've just signed, the international guy, is being held back because of an international transfer clearance hold-up. So they're going to have to start the 17-year-old Alhassan Touré up front again, most likely, unless he wants to repurpose Ben Halloran or whoever to play up front. So that, I think, is probably going to be the biggest thing that is going to hamper Adelaide, is that they're probably going to need goals from outside, whoever they put up front.
Adelaide without a striker? Oh, no.
I feel like I've heard that one before.
They went all last season without one. What's another game?
Yeah, well, fair.
Having a player out because of international transfer visa problems, that's just, I hear that as I'm like, what Nets players that haven't been now? So, that'd be good. You can watch all those games on, they'll be on KO Sports. As they will be aired, they will cut from the Edgeworth Jets game to any major incidents that happen in any of those games on Fox Sports. So if you, if you want to watch it, I would recommend jumping on KO Sports 14-day free trial, where you can watch all four games in the one go. So news and events, fixtures are out for the season, finally. We'll discuss the fixtures more as we get closer to the start of the A-League season, but general reception is that it's actually a decent draw for the Jets. Season starts off with a bye, followed by Mariners away game. So look forward to those games come October. Just want to give a shout out as well to Sam Miller and his family. Sam's the Jets membership manager. He's currently going through a pretty rough time, to put it lightly. So if people in Newcastle football fans, just keep the Miller family in your thoughts. It's pretty rotten stuff that no one ever wants to go through. So if you want to see some more about it, I would suggest checking Laurie's Facebook page and Twitter. There's been a few updates on what's happening with him on there. So on behalf of the Jetstream, our thoughts are with you, mate. We hope things get better soon for you. I guess now that we've sort of done everything there, I think I need to thank you, gentlemen, for joining me on the pod. Dave, thanks for jumping on.
No worries, mate. You managed to get through without a rap. But, mate, well, I was distinctly told not to do it again, otherwise I would not be invited back. So if I'd known it was that easy, I would have done it that long ago. Well done on getting through your first hosting match, your first hosting duty as well, Luke. You nailed it.
Thanks for that, Dave. I guess it was lucky for you then that the first try we did this didn't go too well then. So
that was Anthony, awesome.
it was good. Anthony, thanks for jumping on, mate.
Oh, that's fine, mate. Anytime. And yeah, just to echo what Dave said, mate, you did really well. So it looks like we've got another host in the mix. This is good.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. If people want to find the Jetstream, we invite all listeners to send us any questions, feedbacks, topics, etc. you may have. You can find us on a number of social channels, facebook.com/JetstreamNewey, on Twitter at JetstreamNewey, Instagram at JetstreamNewey, and if you want to email us, podcast@newcastlefootball.net. You can also join in the forums at newcastlefootball.net and go to the Jetstream sub-forum. Hopefully you've all got your tickets, as we've said before, to the game, which will be tonight when it comes out. If not, I would suggest jumping on it straight away. Don't leave it till you get to the gates. You may be turned away and walk away very sad without getting into the game. So make sure you get in there. It's going to be a great night. Go the Jets.
go the Jets. And Anthony's on mute. But that's awesome.
There we are. Go the Jets.
You are on this pod with Dave Lukenskar-Sella, our brand new host, and the referee fella. There you go.
He squeezed it in there.
That I did. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.